Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of A Look at the Arts. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and today we're going to do it his way. Frank Sinatra in the spotlight, because playing at the Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana is a great new musical review. My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra. In the studio with me are two of the cast members, the lovely McKinley Carter and Christina Mild, and they're going to sing a live song from the show. We're going to feature some great Frank Sinatra show music, and we're also going to talk about the man himself and his career. So you're going to get to learn a little about these great Chicagoland actresses. You're going to hear all about the My Way musical review, and it's all coming up after your headlines here. Good afternoon, and welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges, your host, and today we're going to focus on Frank Sinatra, the music of Frank Sinatra, and a great performance called My Way, a tribute to Frank. It's playing at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana. It's not a tribute. You're not going to see a look-alike. You're not going to have anyone trying to be Frank. What it is a review, and we've got two of the four stars with us, McKinley Carter in the studio and Christine Mild. And we're going to bring them on. They're going to perform a song each. We're going to play some great old Blue Eyes music. And we're going to talk about what this performance really is all about and why Frank is so enduring all these generations later. It's all coming up on A Look at the Arts after we play a classic Frank song to kick it off, because this is, after all, his kind of town.
Now this could only happen to a guy like me, and only happen in a town like this. So may I say to each of you most gratefully, as I throw each one of you a kiss, this is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of people too. People who smile at you, and each time I roam, Chicago is calling me home. Chicago is why I just grin like a clown. It's my kind of town. Town, Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of razzmatazz, and it has all that jazz. And each time I leave, Chicago is tugging sleeve. Chicago is the Wrigley Building. Chicago is the Union Stockyard. Chicago is one town that won't let you down. It's my
A That's his kind of town. Love Sinatra. You know, he's one of those guys that just transcends time. He would be over 100 years old, and we're still talking about him. There's still musicals being made by him. We're still watching the movies. We're still selling CDs. And I remember seeing Sinatra at the very tail end of his career at Chicago Stadium. My mom and dad were big fans. And I remember renting a limousine and surprising them for their anniversary, and we had really good seats. It was Frank in the round, and they loved it. I just remember thinking at that time, wow, this guy is using teleprompters. And I was a rock and roller at that time. Nobody used teleprompters. But now that I'm getting near that age, yes, I'm starting to understand why. The mind goes, the eyes go. And there was Frank. But he still sounded great at all those years.
Yeah, I mean, the music is enduring because they're classic songs. It's good music. But somehow, his take on a lot of these songs are the ones that stick in people's minds, right, even though lots of people sang a lot of these songs, but he had a way.
That's true. A lot of the crooners covered a lot of these songs.
Yes, but somehow that's Frank's music.
We are talking today with Christine Mild and McKinley Carter. That was Christine speaking. Shame on me for not introducing them first. They are two of the stars, the prettiest stars, I might add, of the four-person cast that is In My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra. Of course, it's two girls, two guys. And I really need to stress, and we've got to make this point clear, that it's not a tribute like a look-alike, like a pretend concert. This is a review, a tribute to the songs more than the man, but the man's involved.
Yeah, this show is honoring the man and celebrating the legend. That's what we're doing. It isn't an impersonator show. Nobody's dressed up like Frank. Mm-hmm. Nobody's trying to sound exactly like him. What we're trying to do is perform this music and in some ways make it a little bit fresh for people and maybe hear it in a different way than you had before.
And he is incorporated in that. We talk about some of the history, some of the people he was involved with, some of the things that he did as a recording artist. Mm-hmm. And so he is in that way in the show, but he's not directly represented by a character.
Correct. Right.
And it's kind of fun because there's a lot of trivia about Frank that you guys drop in your dialogue that people might not know. You kind of leave there knowing something you didn't know about him.
Yeah, I think all of us learned something for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I thought it was fun when we were playing the guessing games of how many ladies he had known.
Oh, it's
quite
endless.
The player.
We've never completed the list.
No. There's extra names. I mean, I think the list in the script is 14 names long, but there's more than that. And these are just celebrity women he dated.
Right.
Who knows
any
number of other types of ladies.
Showgirls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of showgirls, let's talk a little bit of past history and introduce what you guys bring as far as actors to the community here in Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland. Christine, since we're talking about showgirls and Vegas-y kind of stuff, you started out as a choir girl, so to speak, as a young child, right, in Vegas?
Well, I was a child performer in Las Vegas, yes. And it happened really by accident. And my family is in no way musical or show busy, even to this day. I mean, my parents only see shows if I'm in them. But I was discovered by a talent agent at my Catholic parish in Las Vegas, where my family was living at the time. And she thought I had some pizzazz as my personality, I guess. And she suggested that I take voice lessons because kids who sang were more marketable. So I took a voice lesson. The lady that I took the voice lesson from was like, you should enter this contest this weekend, which I did, and I won. And
how
sang,
old were you?
I was 7 years old.
Wow.
I sang Let's Hear It for the Boy.
I love it.
In a bedazzled jean jacket. And I won, and there was a talent scout there from Bally's. They did a show at that time called Catch a Rising Star, and I got pulled into that. And then it kind of was my activity. I mean, now kids have so much activity scheduled. But at that time, if you weren't on a softball team or did, you know, athletics, you would do dance. And so I took, I think, 6 dance lessons a week, and I had like 3 voice lessons a week.
Do you still have an audio tape of Let's Hear It for the Boy that you did?
I don't know that I
would love to hear that.
Oh, you know, my parents, I should, when I go home, search, because there's tapes of me singing in talent competitions, because I would win these talent competitions, get these cash prizes and then these ginormous trophies. And
not ginormous cash prizes.
I want to see the trophy closet.
The trophies, I had over 80 trophies. My mom, in one of our moves, threw them all away.
Oh.
But I did have like trophies from every talent competition that came through I would enter. And then you would get work through these talent competitions and they would put you in another casino show. And so it was... I mean, it was a very unlikely childhood, and it was normal to me, but when we relocated to the Chicagoland area, I was very strange to the children in my seventh grade class when I moved from Las Vegas. I showed up in some sort of neon jumpsuit, and they were all in, like, the grunge phase.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
But I've always just maintained that, you know, I'm a sparkly person, and... The Las Vegas in me is alive and kicking.
And, of course, that helps today with the Frank Sinatra My Way show.
Yes.
You wear the glittery outfit and you mm-hmm. walk the stairwell. And I mean, Frank is very Vegas.
Yes, it's very Vegas. This show reminds me of my childhood for sure. And Frank Sinatra Jr. was performing in Las Vegas a lot when I was a kid. And I remember I shared some stages with him. Like, we didn't do shows together, but we would share the same stage. And I met him a few times. And
I found him to be very dull. He was nice,
yes.
But he was very dull.
I think his name was the most interesting thing about
yeah.
him.
I still have his voice on one of my answering machine tapes. Mm-hmm. Mr. Lounge, this is Frank Sinatra Jr. you're supposed to be here, but you're not. And it's like, I missed the interview or something. I don't know. Somehow we got a timetable difference. He was East Coast, I was West Coast or something. And but I thought that was classic to save. It's still somewhere in the tape. McKinley Carter, mm-hmm. Tell us about yourself. You have been in the Chicago market for a while. I know you're not a native from here.
No, over 20 years. But I did, for a while, grow up in Marion, Indiana.
Really?
So
the birthplace of James Dean.
Oh, yes, that's
right. I just did a TV show about Dean.
Oh.
I go down there often.
Nice. Well, and my parents now have retired again to Bloomington, Indiana, and they were both IU.
Okay.
Alumni. So I do have an Indiana connection for sure.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
How long in theater and why theater? How did you get into it?
I always sang as a kid. And there was kind of a joke that I whistled before I spoke. They didn't know where the noise was coming from. And then they figured out it was me. And I think they were thrilled to have a child who was not an athlete. And it's funny because I kind of now am, but my brothers and sister were always running off to a game of some sort. And so I think they were just thrilled to have a child who was into the arts. And so I used to go to theater with my parents and to the...
So they were very theater bound.
Yes,
okay.
They loved it. They're very musically inclined, both of them, and more for the love of it than, you know, a profession. They mm-hmm. were both teachers and then administrators. So I was always encouraged as a kid. And my mom actually played piano for my first audition.
What was your song?
Well, I did Maybe from Annie.
Okay.
You know,
ooh, a classic song.
That's what you do. And it's a theater that still exists, and I think it's still in Hopkins, Minnesota, called Child's Play. And
wow.
I helped actually found that group, which still happens. And I was probably 10 or 11, I think.
Did you play Annie, the coveted role of Annie?
I never did. I think I always had an older sensibility than Annie.
Mm-hmm.
I played Miss Hannigan in high school, though.
Oh, I bet you were amazing.
It was fun. That's why I can't drink tea.
Really?
Because all of her booze was tea, and
right.
I think I OD'd.
Oh, yeah, that would be scarring.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We had the dog in here from Annie, remember?
I do remember that.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
The dog from Annie was a star. Mm. A Star Is Born. Mm. That dog was so cute.
Didn't want to talk much, though.
No,
on
didn't
radio.
Would
not
bark
good
on
for radio.
Cue for me. I'm like,
really?
Wow, thanks.
No,
we're talking
really,
about how brilliant these animals are.
Not a dog for the radio.
Say something, Sandy.
Maybe it wasn't here. We were just, oh, look, the dog's in here.
Yeah, we've got a dog in here, but he's very well behaved.
Sinatra, the musical tribute, is going on. It's called My Way. It's at the Theater at the Center. It runs through March 19th. What is it about this particular play that each of you wanted to do this? And I remember, McKinley, you had told me that you knew of Christine, and Christine, you knew of her, but you hadn't really been in a performance together, but you had respect for each other.
Right.
You finally got to play together, nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how is this working out, and why was this play important to you?
I think it's working out really well.
Mm-hmm.
This group, and especially Christine and I think, have an amazing blend, which is awesome, and you don't find that every day.
Mm-hmm.
She's an awesome, not just a singer, but a musician. And that's the thing. If you have a singer who's also a musician and mm-hmm. understands, you're going to have awesome sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the blend is in what's special about this show and why it's different than just going to see a Frank Sinatra impersonator is that we do four-part harmonies.
Right.
And these jazz arrangements.
There's a live jazz band on
there's
stage.
There's a live
jazz.
First of all,
that's impressive.
The appeal of doing a show with a live jazz trio on stage that gets a rousing applause every night in our show, to perform with them, but then to be with these four. This four-part harmony, jazz combo, the harmonies I really think get people because mm-hmm. you're used to hearing these songs as solos, but maybe not as duets, trios, and quartets. And it's beautiful. I mean, we do this arrangement of I'll Be Seeing You mm-hmm. in the show, and I just think it's like heaven. It's just heaven.
One of the things that I noted in yesterday's column in the Times after seeing the show, of course, we did the cover story the week before I saw it,
mm-hmm.
After seeing it, what was unique is not the fact that there's so many songs in this two-hour show. I mean, there's over 50 songs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the way you segued them. And
yes.
It was like a dance, the way the songs worked together. I mean, mm-hmm. one would stop, one would start.
Yes.
And it was like they were natural together. And
yes.
the different voices, when you do My Way toward the end, and you each pick up a certain verse. And
yes.
it all then comes together. It was breathtaking. It was one of the best shows I've seen as far as that style of blending of music.
I'm so glad you picked up on that. I mean, I do think if you're going to try to tackle all these songs, you can't just sing a song and wait for applause and sing another song.
Right.
We'll be there all night. So I think the structure of the way that the show is written, that the songs are medleyed together in a smooth fashion and that they're somehow grouped together, that they seem to flow into one another.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do four or five songs in a row, and then there's a rest, there's an applause, and then we stop and talk for a little bit.
And they're themed.
Yeah,
they're themed.
Connected.
Mm-hmm. But it does. It moves the show along, and it also, it's like the music's just washing over you, and oh, there's another song mm-hmm. I like, and oh, there's another song
the
I like.
The music, the songs are actually the star of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You guys are like the support characters of the songs.
Yes.
And what was neat also is that you go to one of these type of shows that's a tribute or a review, you almost expect everything to be chronological.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that with this show. Mm-hmm. You're all of the board, early Frank, middle Frank, late Frank, all
yep.
blended up into this mishmash,
yep.
but it works so well.
Mm-hmm. And I think that keeps it from being stale or feeling mm-hmm. kind of boring. I feel like it, because of the mixture, it keeps you engaged. I think it goes by so quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, we're done with the first act. Wow. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it did go quick.
It goes quick. But it's a solid night of music. I mean, in the amount
of music.
How many
songs total? 56?
56, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
56 songs. And
and some of them you do full performances of, some
yes.
you don't.
Right.
But you don't shortchange any of them. Even
no.
if it's just a snippet of it, you give enough of it that we go, wow, I remember that song.
Yeah. Yes.
And you get that memory of what you have with that song.
And it's great that there are some new ones. Not new, but maybe new to some people's ears. Like they may have not gotten into the 60s
mm-hmm.
Concept album that he
like
did
the
about
moon.
The moon.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's a really interesting thing to know.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
I knew about it, but I completely forgot
and
until you mentioned it.
It's got a totally mm-hmm. different feel to it. And you're kind of like, wow. And the
yeah.
idea that he was one of the first to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that today, concept albums are all over the place.
Right.
That was
mm-hmm.
actually pretty risky at that time.
And he wasn't yeah. at his peak. That's the 60s. He was shuffling out his style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to take on a concept when you're competing with, you know, Motown and all this other stuff on the charts was mm-hmm. pretty daring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like you said, he did it his way.
He certainly did.
Speaking of the music, you guys are each going to sing a song. And before it gets away from us here, we're already halfway through the show practically. Let's do a song. Christine?
Yes.
You're doing what song again?
I'm doing The Best Is Yet to Come, which Frank Sinatra said was his very favorite song to sing.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you ready?
I think I am.
All right. This is Christine Mild. She is one of the two ladies who doesn't even have a name in the cast. They're just Lady One and Lady Two.
Lady Two.
And we're going to do it. This is live in the studio to track.
Tree alive, a jazz pygmy plum. Well, you came along and everything started in the hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, they want it fine. Well, you think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain that cup dry.
On the lake shore, this is A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges. That is the best is yet to come from the Sinatra performance of the musical that's out at the center of the theater, the center, My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra. And the jazz band we were hearing is the actual jazz band that was recorded live at the theater.
Yes,
so
correct.
What you're hearing today is what you're going to hear at this performance.
It's bass, correct. Drums, and piano, and they are excellent.
They're excellent.
Yeah. They're really great.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Underwood, our music director, plays the piano, and he's just a brilliant pianist. And I think a feature of this show is that you can watch him play because you can see him playing. And same, I mean, our sweet drummer, Nick, is wonderful, too, but he's kind of tucked back there. Jake, our bass player.
He's a trip.
Is a trip, right? Yeah, like, you're like, that bass player is getting into it. Yeah. He's like, he just loves to play. He's fun to watch. And he's a creative musician. And I think they're all, I mean, they have charts. But they're bringing something new every performance.
Yeah.
They're pretty darn tight.
Even the first day that they played, it was like they've been playing forever. And they've never played all
they
together.
They never played together?
No.
Bill and Nick have. And then
I think that's the only
combo. But
yeah.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What these guys can do.
Now, did they contribute to the arrangement as far as we were talking about the melding of the songs, or was that part of the production from New York?
That's part of the prescribed score, the musical score that we were given. They are set up to blend. But, Bill, as a music director, we definitely massaged some of those transitions. Mm-hmm. They might be spelled out in a specific way. Maybe it's an 8-bar transition, and we're like, actually, we need to cut that down. We could just have a 4-bar transition or maybe even a 2-bar transition, and maybe we're going to change the key of the song so he has to rewrite how the chords progress so that they can get from one key to the next in a smooth fashion so the music keeps going. So Bill's brilliant, and
now, have you both worked with Bill before?
I have, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the four different voices and the fact that you have not all performed together before rehearsals, was it hard because you're different styles of singers, different styles, different pitches, different things? How hard is it to meld 4-part harmony with complete strangers?
It's really not if they're good musicians, and all of these guys are. Mm-hmm. They just really are. It may be different voice types, like I'm more in the middle. Christine's all over the place. you can sing anything. And then, you know, usually there's a tenor and a bass. Mm-hmm. But just because of where your voice likes to live doesn't mean you can't blend with everyone else. It's really a listening and a sensibility, and also how you form your vowels to create something that you're all kind of singing the same vowel together, which is how that blend happens.
Yep.
So yeah, if you're good musicians, you can do it. And this is a great
group. You guys sound like you've been singing forever together. I mean, you go to see certain vocal groups that have been around 10, 15, 20 years. You expect that.
Right.
But the fact you guys fell together 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And to come off as well as you do.
Yeah.
Especially when you're all on that one pretend mic singing.
You know,
It's just awesome.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, they did a good job casting musicians. I feel when you read the description for this show, they kind of ask for two of the people to be like stronger dancers. So I think in other productions of this show, you might have seen a significant more dancing. Though we have a lot of partner dancing, and I actually think it's pretty nicely peppered with dance. But I feel like if you have stronger dancers, I wonder if the music suffers. And you just can't lose the music in this show, because that's what the people are there to hear.
Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of dancing. I mean, you dance up and down the stairwell, you dance in front of the crowd.
Oh, yeah, we're dancing. I mean, we're all
there's a few dips in there, a few twirls. I mean, it fits the mood.
It does.
Which is a nightclub.
Yes.
Like a Hollywood nightclub.
And it is.
I don't know if it's modeled after a specific one, but it looks like a place Sinatra and his gang would have hung out.
Precisely.
It is modeled after a specific club, which I forget the name of.
Yes, right.
But they did model it after. The set designer took a old black and white photo and recreated that. But it does. It feels like a club. It feels like Vegas to me. Yeah. And it has some opulence to it. And, you know, we have a bar on stage
and
we're having cocktails and chandeliers. And it just feels like, I mean, have yourself a nice dinner and a steak dinner and a cocktail and come see the show. It's like the best evening ever, as far as I'm concerned.
The one thing that maybe I missed it, but I was waiting for was the bottle of Jack Daniels to come out.
Uh-huh.
I saw a lot of clear alcohol, like vodka,
gin.
We
do have a bottle of...
But Jack was his drink.
It was.
Yes. They even named a Jack blend after him after he passed.
Oh, wow. We had a opening night Jack Daniels cake made for us.
We did.
A cake with Jack Daniels in it.
Okay.
It was delicious.
No wonder you get along so well.
We have a decanter of whiskey that I imagine is supposed to look like
Jack. Whiskey/tea.
It's tea.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I figured as much.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are the things about Sinatra that you always hear from every singer that talks about him is his way of phrasing things? Because he was so unique, as we mentioned, a lot of singers have sang these songs. No one sang them like Frank. How hard was it for you guys to capture that essence of the song?
Well, we weren't necessarily trying to mimic, but I think all of us did listen. And he did have several versions of each song that he did too, which was interesting to hear him doing it as a younger man, and then to hear him do as an older man and in the middle. There are just some essences that we try to do, because obviously none of us are Frank Sinatra. We just don't have that instrument. Everyone's different. But little essence of that, of throwing away the vowel or putting the emphasis in an interesting place or backphrasing here when you expect the phrase to move forward. I think there are just little specifics that we each kind of picked up on each of our individual numbers, and then we've kind of woven in. So you get the feel of Frank Sinatra, even though it's not him singing.
Yeah, I mean, I think McKinley's right. I mean, we listen to the music, and you listen to what makes his singing special, and then you have to kind of filter it through your own instrument and see how you can kind of tip your hat to it, but also not just try to straight up impersonate it. Plus, with the amount of music there is, it would be almost impossible to try to like nail that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the phrasing is definitely his strong suit, and I encourage people to, as they listen, if it's not something they've thought about, when you listen to, as we play some Sinatra music, listen to the way he sings some of these phrases and doesn't take a breath in between certain words, or holds a phrase over, or scoops into something, or elongates a phrase. Like McKinley said, mm-hmm. we call it back phrasing, but it means like you're singing the words kind of after that you would think they would land. And it makes it have a certain electricity. He knew how to massage the way the words came out. You hear words in a different way.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to A Look at the Arts on Lakeshore Public Radio. In studio with me, Christine Mild, McKinley Carter, and we're talking about Frank Sinatra. And let's give an example of some of that phrasing. Now, when we get back, we're going to have McKinley step up to the mic and sing, and we're going to talk a little more about the new musical that you can see right now at the theater at the center, My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra. This goes back to the middle period, I think it is. This is off the Capitol years.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage. This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry and they will say it's elementary. Try to separate them, it's an illusion. Try and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other. Try to separate them, it's an illusion. Try and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, they go together like the horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other. No, sir.
Great example of Frank Sinatra's magical phrasing there. There's certain words that he says that if I sang it, I wouldn't have done that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
It's almost weird, but then he made it cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a strange sound.
Uh-huh.
But he did. He made it cool. That song, of course, everybody knows off the Married with Children television show.
Yep.
You can't listen to that without seeing, like, Al Bundy sitting
and
on the couch.
And the Buckingham Fountain.
And the Buckingham Fountain. There you go. Joining us now in the studio, McKinley Carter, Christine Mild. They are two of the four cast members from the My Way musical tribute to Frank Sinatra. Opening weekend was last weekend, and I saw the show, and it was amazing. What kind of feedback have you guys gotten now that the public is seeing the performance?
Really great. I mean, it's been a long time since I've done a show where people are singing with you. All the throughout the show, and it's great because it's a show where you can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's encouraged, and it's just delightful. I mean, I think this is really bringing up some memories for people. It's just, yeah, it's a very feel good show in that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of our audience is. It harkens back to a different time, a simpler time, as I'm now referring to it as. And I feel that this music kind of transports people back to when they fell in love or when they were in high school or, you know, my mother, who, like I said, is not a very musical person. She's like, I knew every song, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think – and a lot of songs that you might not have heard for years. I'm like, oh, God.
Right.
You know, I haven't
heard
that in so long.
When you sang Wave –
Yes.
I'm thinking, wait, what? I don't know that song. But as soon as you started singing it, I'm like, I totally remember this song.
Yes, exactly. So I think in the feedback, I've been, now that we're open, I've been going out and greeting some audience members after the show. And
I was looking for you guys after the show at that night I was there.
Well, you were there opening, so we were putting on our fancy dresses.
Yes.
Getting ready for the reception.
Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah. But the audience is, I mean, the response is kind of overwhelming, how much they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're saying this is their favorite thing they've seen at Theater of the Center. And, you know, I'm a season subscriber and, you know, this was just the best.
A little old lady sitting probably to my left, third row up toward the end. And I was watching her on and off throughout the performance, and she was glowing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know the lady you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, she smiled the whole way through, and as you hit certain songs, she smiled more, and her eyes smiled.
Yeah.
And I kept looking at her thinking, I wonder what's going through her head. These songs are certainly touching her in some way.
Right.
And that made me happy just to see that connection.
I get a little choked up when I see people's reaction because I feel like that's the magic of theater and live music, is that it brings up these emotions in people, and that maybe they, you know, they just had a ticket and came to the theater, but I think it catches in them and they start feeling things, you know, and I think that's a really beautiful thing to share with people and to see, and as being somebody who didn't grow up with this music, to see, but, you know, it's music that I love, but to see the power that it still has is pretty great.
Music is memory, and I think these are good memories for most of these people.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, a song that I remember well from Sinatra is Old Black Magic.
Oh, yes.
And that's got to be one of my favorites of his era. I remember him singing, I think it was on the Dean Martin show or something. Mm-hmm. I used to watch faithfully with my parents. And I always thought, what a cool song that is. And McKinley, you going to sing that for us today?
Sure.
All right. This is McKinley Carter. She is one of the cast members. Are you Lady One or Lady Two?
I'm Lady One.
Lady One.
But that's not to say anything about Lady Two.
I think we all know I'm Lady Two.
Sorry. I'm taller.
She's taller.
Okay. There we go. This is live on the Lake Shore. And again, the music you're hearing is the actual jazz trio that is part of this show that you can see at Theater at the Center, which is running through March 19th. Let's do it. McKinley Carter.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. That same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. That same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts its ride. And down and down I go, round and round I go. Like a leaf that's caught in the tide.
McKinley Carter, live on the Lake Shore, that old black magic. Mm-hmm. You know, the way those songs weave together, I was almost expecting that and witchcraft to be brought together.
Oh, actually, that is a great combo. I've heard that done before. It just doesn't happen in this show. But yeah, you're right. That is a great combo.
That's what I was expecting when I heard you sing.
But in the show, the song that happens right after Old Black Magic is witchcraft, but it's
but it's not segued together.
It's so right when she finished just now, we would have started witchcraft.
Okay,
right. So it's
they go into each other. So I think it's a nod
exactly.
to that, but it's not the same thing.
And
but
who sings that?
Mantu.
Mantu.
Andreas Enriquez.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we've had. Let's talk a little about your castmates. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, man one is George Keating,
a beloved Chicago favorite.
Yes.
He reminds me a little bit, and just a little bit, of Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
Yes.
As I'm watching him with the fedora, I'm thinking, why does this guy look so familiar?
Favorite performers ever. Yeah. He really does love Stewart.
Yes.
Yeah.
I kept thinking that. I told my wife, does he remind you of Jimmy Stewart? She goes, now that you mention it, a little bit from certain profiles.
So
George has been around a long time, and McKinley, you said that was one of the first shows you did was with George.
Yeah, yeah. This is a reunion again, of sorts. Years and years ago. I can't even say how long. It's over 10 years, probably more like 15 years ago.
Yeah, I did my first show with George children. 10 years ago, 2007. We did Les Mis at the Marriott together, and we would die in slow motion looking into each other's eyes every night at the barricade.
If that doesn't bond you to someone.
Wow.
I mean, we were in love forever. And then we played Argentinian Lovers in Evita last year.
Wow.
Yes, we had two children, Arjen and Tina.
Aww. And how are the kids today? So George is an old hand at this. He's been in Chicago for a long time.
Yep. And he can do anything. He's an actor. He does straight plays. He was seen earlier this year in The Odd Couple at, or I guess last year at Theater at the Center. And he's a singer. He's a dancer. He teaches.
And he's funny.
And he's the funniest person. Mm-hmm. I mean, we laugh so hard. He's just, he's a charm bomb. Yeah.
That's charm bomb.
That's a great word.
I like that. Charm I've never bomb. Heard that. All right. And we recently, when I saw it, Eric was in it,
Eric Lewis.
Now he's got a good batch of luck that fell into his lap.
Yeah, he moved downtown to do a show that's going to be at the Royal George called Spamilton, which is kind of a musical spoof comedy. So we were lucky enough to get a new cast member, and he's just terrific.
Now, how hard is that to jump right in if the production's underway?
Really hard.
Really, really hard.
And boy, did he do his homework.
Yes.
It is not easy to do, especially with something so new and fresh that hasn't, you know, that
right. This isn't Oklahoma or Sound of Music.
No,
I mean, these
or
are songs.
Did he have the, you know, he couldn't watch it for 2 weeks and before he went on. He basically watched it for a few performances and previews and then was ready to go.
Yeah. His name is Andreas Enriquez.
What do we know about Andreas?
He's been working all over Chicago, and I think the surrounding areas. He's been living in Chicago and working in Chicago for the past 6 years. He's new to me, but I know that he was involved in the most recent production of In the Heights at Porchlight Music Theater downtown that was the longest running musical in Chicago in 2016.
Yes.
It was a ginormous success. Mm-hmm. And he had a part in the ensemble and he had some solos and things. But he also went on for the lead of that musical, which was famously portrayed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, the writer of Hamilton, on Broadway, and he went on for this mammoth part and apparently blew the roof off the joint, and that's how he got the job working in our show, because our director had seen him go on and knew that he was capable of taking over a large part like that.
Yep. Now, how old is this musical? I mean, it's only a few years old, right?
I think it's a little older than that. We were talking about that.
Was it written in the late, I think it's like 1998?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's actually...
Yeah, but it isn't done that much. I'm not really sure why.
No, I'm not either.
The script, there isn't a lot of dialogue, and there certainly isn't a plot. But I don't know why more theaters don't do it. I feel like I can tell the phones ring at Theater at the Center. They're like, we want to see that Sinatra show, because it just isn't a thing that is usually available.
Well, if you research it online, the reviews I've read of every different production has been sellout crowds, popular demand, you know, return encore, extended runs. So why wouldn't someone do that? And how involved what is it? You never really answered my question earlier. Of what was it that drew each of you to this particular production? Why is this something you wanted to do?
Well, musical reviews, I mean, they are probably, I always say you should be paid double, because you basically never leave stage and you're singing for 2 hours straight. Mm-hmm. But really, there's such a joy within them. There's usually such an energy you get from that kind of a performance, where you all have to be on the entire time. You're depending on each other. It's a real bonding experience. And reviews oftentimes break that fourth wall, so you're making contact with the audience. And that is what's so unique about this theater at the Center, is that I call it like a three quarters in the round. Mm-hmm. You're very close to those audience members. You can look right
times.
In their eyes. And it's wonderful. You can feel the connection in that kind of a house. And that's the kind of thing you can do with a musical review that you can't necessarily with other plays or musicals, because you don't really acknowledge your audience member. In this show, our audience member is really important. They're like another character in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk to them. And
we do.
They talk back.
Yes.
It's great. But, I mean, that is definitely well, for me, Sinatra music, I love singing this kind of music. It's super satisfying to me. So I already knew I wanted to do the show just because it was Sinatra music. Mm-hmm. And I had worked at a theater that had done it in the past. And I was like, someday I will do that show. But then it was Brenda Didier directing it, who is mm-hmm. an awesome director. And frankly, I really like working with female directors. And she was lovely to work with. And we had a really lovely rehearsal process that was kind of as smooth as silk.
Yes.
But then when I auditioned for it, I wanted to do the music with Bill, our music director. And then George Keating called me on the phone and said, I got offered this play, and they said they offered it to you too. I won't do it unless you do it. And that's really what McKinley is saying, is like, it is such a bonding experience. Mm-hmm. You have to know that you want to work with the people that you're going to be doing with, because we are on stage together and we're there for each other.
And that they've got your back, which
And when I knew that George was doing it, and then they told me McKinley was doing it, I was like, well, then it's going to be gangbusters.
Well, when I talked to each of you separately for the Times article, each of you said the same thing about each other. It's like, mm-hmm. I know this person. I respect their work. We've never worked together. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yep.
Each of you said that. Complete separate phone calls. Now that – why is it that you didn't work together earlier? Why?
Just Christine and I.
Are your styles different? Do you go for different roles?
Yeah. It just all depends on where it falls. We're distinctly different vocally and physically.
Yes.
And age-wise, yes.
So, we are different.
Yeah.
I mean
– well, and she left town for a while.
I mean, I'm in and out of town, and I tend to, I mean, McKinley works all the time, and McKinley does Chicago shows at Chicago Shakespeare, and she does straight plays, and she does all sorts.
Shakespeare?
Sometimes, oh, yes. She's brilliant. She is truly brilliant.
I tried that once.
It's hard.
That was enough.
It's very hard. Shakespeare is super hard. But the kind of, I guess we just don't run in the same
circles as much.
Yeah, the theaters I work at. I don't know. Yeah, we just haven't crossed paths, but that's what happens. Like, there are I have a list of people in Chicago that I love and would die to work with, and I just haven't gotten the chance yet.
I'm glad it happened, because the two of you really meld well in this production.
Yeah, it's been a true joy, and I'm treasuring the experience, because who knows if we'll ever be together again.
You know? Oh, come on. Aren't you, your next show, you're going to say, I'm not doing it unless McKinley's doing
she'll
it.
She'll be in my ride.
That's right. She'll be under your skin.
Truly.
So let's play some Frank.
Well, we are sharing a dressing room.
Thank you. I've got you under my skin. I have got you deep in the heart of me, so deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I've tried so not to give in, and I said to myself, this affair, it never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well that I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice comes in the night. It repeats in my ear, but you know, you fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. And each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin, 'cause I've got you under my skin. Run for cover, run and hide. Hey!
sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near. In spite of a warning voice comes in the night, it repeats how it yells in my ear. Don't you know, you fool, there ain't no chance to win. Why not choose your mentality? Wake up, step up to reality. And each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. Because I've got you under my skin. Yeah, you grab me under my skin.
Applause, applause. It's old Blue Eyes himself, Under My Skin.
The best.
The best there is. Mm-hmm. In the studio with us, McKinley Carter, Christina Mild, and you guys are the cast, half the cast.
Half
of
the cast. Mm-hmm.
The My part. Way, the pretty part. My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra. Again, this is running through March 19th at Theater at the Center, and that is in Munster, Indiana, right there on Ridge Road. Can't miss it. And how do they get tickets for this? Is there a website?
Yes, you can. Actually, calling the box office is probably the best way, but you can also buy tickets on their website, which I think is theateratthecenter.org.
.com. It's in the back of the.
Yeah. I'm looking. I don't
there?
See it.
Yeah.
Let's
see.
Let's
they
take
love
a look
it
at this
if you give
program.
Them a call. They're lovely.
Yeah, they have
at the box
they have
office.
The nicest ladies.
It's, oh, here it
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah. 219-836-3255. 219-836-3255. And then the website.
The website is on this one. It's www.theateratthecenter.com.
.com.
Okay.
And it's theater R-E, not
and
E-R.
And Switchback is coming Sunday, March 12th.
Wow. Speaking of updating shows, where are you guys going to be playing when you're not doing My Way? You guys have some separate gigs?
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of gigs coming up, actually. On the February 28th, my band, which is Martin and Mild, it's kind of... It's a boy-girl duo, folk music, kind of easy listening.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of like Simon and Garfunkel.
Like She and Him?
She and Him. Sort okay. of like She and Him, but with better singing.
But better, yes.
But better singing.
Thank you.
But Martin and Mild is performing at on Common Ground on Clark Street on Tuesday, the 28th of February. And then the following Monday, or maybe 2 Mondays later, on March 6th, we will be performing at The Hideout. We're opening for Chicago artist Bethany Thomas, who is truly brilliant. She's doing a Linda Ronstadt tribute show with her band, and we are opening for her. And we're working on this arrangement of Under African Skies from Graceland. Because
yeah,
Linda Ronstadt and Paul Simon sang that in that song, and it's so cool. But yeah, I'm doing that. And then I head to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to the Fulton Opera House to do a musical called Always Patsy Cline.
Which you have done many, many times.
Which I have done many times. And then I will be up in Maine as well. So
how do they follow you? Is there a website for you?
ChristineMild.com will maybe potentially tell you what I'm doing.
Okay. McKinley, what about you?
Well, I do my own cabarets that I put together with my accompanist and dear friend, Dustin Pappin. And we have two gigs coming up at Davenport's Piano Bar and Cabaret, mm-hmm. April 21st and 24th. And it's my show called Crazy Love, which kind of covers everything from the love of your family, the love of your friends, why you do it, why you don't do it. It's a great
night of music. Is this original music?
Some is original, and some just it runs the gamut. That's what I love to do with the show. Take unconnected songs and connect them in the theme and have a great time. It's good stuff. And then I'll be up at Writers Theater doing Parade, which is a Jason Robert Brown show.
Oh, you guys do keep really busy.
Yes.
Davenport's is a really fun piano bar, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right across from the Emporium.
Yes. They've got a great vibe. It's a back room. It's nice.
Yeah, it's a
nice
piano lounge. They make a really good cocktail. I'll tell you what. And Antique Tacos right across the street. You can get yourself some tacos and then have a cocktail and listen to some music.
McKinley, is there a website for you?
There is not. I like to keep it simple.
We won't tell you what we're playing, but we expect you to show up.
Davenport's Piano Bar. In Wicker Park. Yeah. Wickerpark.com.
All right. We're going to take you out of here with some classic Frank because the lady, of course, is always a tramp. And our ladies tonight, McKinley Carter, Christine Mild, and you can see them in My Way at the Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana. Thank you for joining us, ladies.
Thank you so much.
She gets hungry for dinner at 8. She loves the theater, doesn't come late. She'd never bother with anyone she'd hate. And that's why the lady is a tramp.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Accelerating